How do you do? Come with us to the west coast of Africa, to Nigeria, a country far away from North America, but where the people share the same heartaches and same longing for peace that are found anywhere else in the world. The man in this story will tell you about civil war and family love and how both shaped his life. But most of all, he wants to tell you how his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light into the darkness, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Doors are important at Pacific Garden Mission. The doors to enter have been open since 1877, never closed even during the Great Depression and the World Wars. Today, the old lighthouse on State Street still offers refuge to homeless people in Chicago. Men and women and children receive food, clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Medical and dental care if needed, as well as practical help in running their lives. The most important door of all, though, is the door to new life. And all who enter are offered new life, like the man in this story. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2530 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Oh, Lusula, they've broken into our shop.
Oh, no. Can't we stop them?
It's too dangerous. Don't go out there.
But we lose everything.
You lose your life if you go out there.
Everything we work for will be gone.
Protect the children. That's all we can do now.
The year was 1968, and Nigeria was plunged into civil war. Thousands of lives were lost, businesses ruined, families displaced. The man in this story was only 3 years old, one of twin boys. The setting may be exotic, but the conflict between good and evil is common to us all. This is the true story of Kolada Adeyemi and his response to that conflict right now on Unshackled.
I was born in a town in southern Nigeria. I had an older brother and younger brother, as well as a younger sister, but I was the firstborn of us twins. My parents were small traders, and religion was part of our daily lives. We were part of the Yoruba tribe, living in a communal life, an extended family of 40 adults and children, all sharing one big house.
The looters destroyed our shop, Olusola burned it to the ground.
We'll start over. When things calm down, we'll find another place.
Where? The whole town has been hit. Everything is damaged.
We have to do something, Adeboye. But I suppose we can always sell our produce on the street.
I'm tired of struggling for nothing. It's time to try somewhere else. Maybe go north to Gombe, where there is less trouble.
All of us?
No. You and the children stay here with the family. The chief will protect you.
My father left and went to Gombe in northern Nigeria, leaving us in the care of the extended family. Our tribal chief, Lufadeyo, was father to all of us, a stern disciplinarian, but a man who loved every member of the household and treated us all equally. He was a godly man. And every day at 6 in the morning, at 9 at night, the prayer bell rang for family devotions.
Come on, children. It's time to gather with the family. Where is Kehinde?
He's helping to bring in the water.
Okay, let's go.
Mom, see if I have my verse memorized correctly.
What verse is that?
1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. If any man love the world...
No, that's not right. It's love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Oh, Muma, will the chief punish me for not knowing my verse?
Of course not. He's always very fair.
But Cousin Tosin was caned yesterday.
For disobedience. There's a big difference between uncertainty and willful disobedience. Now, say your verse correctly, God will help you get it right.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
I was 8 the first time I faced death outside alone when I was overcome with malaria fever. I managed to sit on the veranda steps where I went into convulsions and then fell unconscious. Someone alerted one of the old women in the house who carried me to the water tap and poured water on my face, all the while praying to God to revive me. After my twin brother and I started school, I saw that the world was a place of competition and I would have to work hard to succeed. I also saw the burden Mom carried as year after year my father did not return, even though the Civil War ended in 1970. Mom had opened another shop, and my brother and I took turns helping her after school.
Put these onions over there, Colade.
Yes, Mom. Is Father coming home soon?
Maybe next year.
It's almost been 10 years. I don't think I'll recognize him.
Don't worry. I'll know him. What's that you're humming?
Oh, a song the chief wrote for us. He's very talented, isn't he, Mom?
Yes. He's also a good man. He's always helping others.
I want to be like him when I grow up. I want to be a great chief.
I'm sure you will be, Colade, because you work hard.
I cannot overemphasize the impact our communal family had on my character. I learned about virtues and ideals, about God and hard work as we socialized, cooked together, ate together, and encouraged one another every day. As a family, we discussed everything from moral goodness to personal hygiene. Those who did well were rewarded, those who did not were shamed. When I was 12, however, a great change came to my life through one of my cousins who was a teacher.
Sister Olusola, I'm being transferred to the Advanced Teacher Training College in Abeokuta.
Is this a promotion?
Yes, it is. I'll be the senior lecturer.
Good for you, Richard.
I have a request to make of you. I would like to take Colade with me.
It's so far away. Why do you want to take him?
I need someone to help me with household matters, and he's just the right age.
What about his education?
I'll put him in a secondary school.
Well, it might be good for him to travel a bit.
Since his father is now home again, I hoped you could spare him in the shop.
How long will you be posted there?
Several years, sister. But I'll see that he gets a good education.
I lived with my cousin nearly 200 miles away from my family for the next 5 years, and I got an education, but some of it wasn't good. My school studies progressed well, but my social and spiritual life went downhill. I became used to all sorts of friends who lured me into all kinds of immorality, like drunkenness, gambling, and lying to my cousin. I would sneak out for adventures and come back in the middle of the night.
Colade, is that you?
Yes.
Is something wrong?
No, I just couldn't sleep, so I went for a walk.
I smell smoke. Have you been smoking?
No. I walked past the bonfire, that's all. The smoke is clinging to me.
Are you sure you are all right?
Yes, cousin. I'm going to bed now.
You shouldn't be out so late. Not when you have classes tomorrow.
In 1982, when I returned to my family, I was in rebellion against many of the virtues I had been taught as a child. My personal conduct was acceptable to others, but inwardly, I was deceitful. 1983 brought presidential elections to Nigeria along with civil unrest. Political opponents killed one another, and people disappeared from cities and towns all over the country. Tensions were high. Mom, we're going over to the sports center.
Who's going?
All three of us. We're going to play lawn tennis.
You be careful. Anything could happen these days.
Mom, we're not little boys anymore.
But don't you remember what it was like when you were little? Elections bring out the worst in people.
Don't worry, Mom. We'll be all right.
We'll be back in a couple of hours.
While my brothers and I were at the sports field, armed soldiers named Kilango were sent to the streets and suburbs of town to stop outbreaks of violence as people began to accuse one another of fraud and rigged elections. We were unaware of this turn of events as we strolled back home that hot August afternoon. Oh, I'm glad secondary school is behind me.
Me too. But no, you must face higher school certificate class.
Two more years.
I'm not worried.
The folks expect you to go on to college.
I know. I want to study geology.
I'm thinking about sociology, social administration. Maybe get a good government job.
Depending on who wins the election.
Mom's right, you know. People get crazy when it's time to elect a president.
Hey, who are those guys up ahead, blocking the road?
Weird uniforms. They must be soldiers.
They have guns, and they don't look friendly.
Oh, hush. I don't like this.
Where are you going?
We are going home. We live right down there.
What are you doing on the street?
We were at the sports center playing lawn tennis.
You're lying.
I'm telling the truth, man.
Ow!
Hey, hey, what's going on? You had no right to hit my brother.
Shut up! You were making trouble in town, weren't you? Trying to start a riot.
What are you talking about?
We weren't doing anything wrong.
We live right down the street. Ask anyone.
Oh, we don't ask. We give orders. Get in the truck. You're nothing but troublemaker. Trying to overthrow the government. Crawling in the truck.
No, we're telling you the truth. Get we are in innocent.
Get in there.
No.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
What are you doing to my sons? These are my sons. Ask anyone on this street. They haven't done anything.
They're troublemakers. Hooligans.
They're not.
We have orders to arrest anyone roaming the street.
But they just went to the sports center to play tennis.
Yeah, that's what we did.
This one is my oldest son. These two are my twin sons. They're very good boys. God-fearing. They're not hooligans. They wouldn't do what you're saying. Ask anyone.
Yeah.
Please, don't take them away.
No, no,
I beg you, don't do this terrible thing.
In a moment, the outcome of this crisis. We always welcome letters from our Unshackled listeners, and we receive a regular flow of mail from the continent of Africa, from countries such as Ghana, Nigeria, Chad, and South Africa. This letter comes from a student at a girls' school in Uganda. I heard the message over the radio on Unshackled, and I was really touched. It showed me that even people who seem to be so far from knowing God can also change, and that's amazing. This note came to us from Sierra Leone. I must say thanks to all the workers at Pacific Garden Mission for their hard work and prayers to see that multitudes may come under the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I love to hear and enjoy Unshackled. And this from a student at the University of Liberia. I am a regular listener to Unshackled on ELWA in Monrovia. Words are inadequate to express the significant impact this program continues to make on my life. Now, while we receive much mail from our African listeners, we are often frustrated in our attempts to respond by mail due to the political and social unrest in certain African nations. And while the mail may not get through, we know that our prayers on behalf of the people there are heard and answered by our gracious and loving Lord. So we'd love to hear from you. Just write to us at Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
As more neighbors came to support Mom's plea for mercy, the soldiers reluctantly let us go. Otherwise, we three brothers would have been shot dead or left to die in some Nigerian prison. God spared our lives that day, but I was blind to His grace. That year, my twin brother and I began the two-year program leading to the higher school certificate exams that would qualify us for college. During the first year, however, I got a wake-up call.
Kolade, I've been accepted at university.
You have?
Yes, I passed the entrance exams.
Oh, that's great, Kahinde.
I can start right away.
That's good.
What about you?
I don't know. I haven't passed the exams yet.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I guess I'm stupid. My brother went away to university, and I felt terrible about being left behind. My inability to pass the exams made me feel dejected. Then self-pity took over. I had sleepless nights and sometimes wept uncontrollably. I even avoided members of the family who came around.
Colare? Cousin Torsten is here with his father. Come on out.
I don't feel like visiting right now.
Why not?
I have to study.
Take a break, son. You've been keeping to yourself too much lately. You need to socialize.
They just want to make me feel bad because I haven't passed the exams yet.
Is that what's bothering you?
Yes. Do you think something's wrong with me?
Of course not. You'll catch up.
I'm not so sure. I just don't understand. I used to do so well in school. What went wrong?
I don't know.
I want to be a scholar. Is that too much to ask?
You will be, Colare. Don't lose heart. God will help you.
I think God has forgotten me. The sadness inside of me worsened, and I began to seek help from just about anywhere except God. I turned to a group that held vigils and prayer sessions for people like me on mountaintops or riversides. What a fool I was.
Yes, Colade. We have been praying for you.
I'm still very discouraged.
I see a brighter, better future ahead of you. Take heart.
So far, your prophecies have not changed anything.
Enemies, Colade. Enemies have seen your star shining, and they have vowed never to cooperate.
What does that mean?
Evil spirits at work.
Then I will fail?
No! We can stop this evil and guarantee success. But we need a lot of money.
When I realized they were false prophets, I began to seek help directly from the Bible. I cried out to God, "If you are up there, help me out." I also attended different churches where I learned more about God, His Word, and His plan for our lives. I was troubled by their talk of sin. After one service, I knelt down and read Psalm 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." I knew I needed the Lord, but I wanted him on my terms. God, I'm willing to know you and serve you on the condition that you help me secure university admission. Then I will surrender all to you. The next 4 months I spent in another town preparing for the university entrance exams. I was traveling back home on a minibus when the bus, traveling much too fast, collided with the car. My eyes! My eyes!
Collade! What happened to you?
The bus! The bus I was on had a terrible accident. It was going too fast and crashed into a car.
Your eyes look terrible.
I caught slivers of glass in them from the windshield. The pain is very bad.
Why didn't you go to the hospital?
I couldn't do that, Mom. Tomorrow's the exam and I have to be there.
Then come here and put your head in a bowl of water.
Yes, the glass slivers might wash out.
It was gruesome. I'm lucky to be alive.
Put your head in there and open your eyes. Some of the glass may come out.
How did you get home?
I got a ride to town and walked the rest of the way home.
Keep your eyes open, Colare. The water should ease the pain.
God saved me. I wasn't badly injured, and I might have been killed.
Or blinded.
God saved me. Somehow, I managed to sleep that night and take the exam in the morning, after which I went to the hospital and was treated. I passed the exams and took a job in a town in southwestern Nigeria. There, I attended church and heard the salvation message. But I was not ready to give up my life of pleasure. Then I was accepted at the university. I was deeply moved to see that God had kept his word and it was time to keep the promise I had made to him. I went home and attended an evening fellowship gathering.
Brothers and sisters, love is not a mushy feeling. Love is what you do. Listen to what God did to show his love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son unto the world, that we might live through him. Amen. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does propitiation mean? To make amends. It means atonement, compensation, redemption. These are the things that Jesus did for you on the cross, because God says the penalty for sin is death. And all have sinned, therefore all must die. So out of his great love for us, he sent his Son Jesus to die in our place, that we might live through him. Do you live through Christ, or do you still live for yourself? Brothers and sisters, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, his death becomes your death, and you are dead to sin. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to set you free, my friend. If you want to walk in freedom, in newness of life, surrender to him now. Show your love for him by what you do.
I sobbed profusely that night as I surrendered my life to Christ, asking God to take over my life. Later, I went home and shared my newfound faith with my family. They were concerned that I was too zealous, but I kept my promise to God during my college years. I always attended prayer and fellowship meetings as well as every Bible study, and God gave me the opportunities to serve him in leadership positions. Even so, after graduation, I faltered. In Nigeria, it's mandatory for every university graduate under the age of 32 to serve 1 year with the National Youth Service Corps. So I was sent to a distant state to work. God made it clear that I was to be a missionary, but at the end of my compulsory service, I rebelled.
You found a job. Excellent.
Where?
With a very big company outside of Lagos. The pay is good and the chance of promotion looks very good.
We're proud of you, Kolade. You're putting your education to good use.
I thought you were going to be a missionary.
I've changed my mind.
There's no money in being a missionary. You made the right choice.
And there's always time to be a missionary later.
But you were so sure that's what God wanted you to do. How do you know that you like the business world?
Because God gave me leadership skills, and I intend to use them.
You can still serve God in other ways, Kolade.
But you can't serve God according to your own will. You have to serve him according to his will, his plan for your life, and I wasn't doing that. The Holy Spirit was heavy upon me as I went my own way. I tried two or three secular jobs, but they didn't last very long. I had no peace of mind. Finally, I submitted to God. Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you have for me and my future. Have your way, Lord. Take me to the uttermost parts of the earth if you want, for your glory.
You're going to become a missionary after all?
I was miserable, Mom. I have to do what God wants me to do.
How will you support yourself?
I've accepted a job as a director of an evangelism group in Lagos.
Then it's too late to talk you out of it.
I will never again turn away from doing God's work.
It's a big step, Kolade.
I'm completely at peace about it.
What will you be doing?
Training evangelists to go from door to door, house to house, to preach the word of God.
Door to door?
heart to heart. That's how God reaches people, Dad.
Just so you don't leave the country.
If that's what God wants me to do, I'll go. For 2 years, I served God through that evangelism ministry, and many souls were won to God's kingdom. Also, new churches were planted in Lagos. Then God called me to full-time work as a missionary. He brought me a lovely wife in 1994, and we came to Malawi in 1995, where our son was born. Malawi is a small country in Central Africa with many Muslims, so pray for our work here. Like 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
We pray that Kolade's testimony helps you see that God is at work everywhere in the world, bringing lost souls into His family through Christ. Whatever the circumstances of your life, God loves you and offers you forgiveness of sin. We would like to send you some literature to help you understand God's love and how you can receive His forgiveness and become a child of God. Just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. From anywhere in the world, you can visit our website, which is www.unshackled.org. If these true testimonies brighten your day, tell your friends to listen next time. And remember to thank the manager of this station for including us in their broadcast lineup. Your support will help us to tell the world how to be unshackled. This is program number 2530. Heard in the true story of Kolade Adeyemi were Michael Myers, Vicki Myers, Jim Jackson, DJ Howard, and Larry Halliburton. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Right today, we do look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. In time of need, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.